Hello, my name is Brian Novoselsky, and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today we are joined by Rick Sage, Executive Vice President of Innovation and Standards with the National Council for Prescription Drug Programs, or NCPDP. For this special installment of Over the Counter, we join Rick live at the NCPDP's November workgroup meeting in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to get insights into current NCPDP developments and programming heading into 2026. More specifically, he provided insights into the recently lifted government shutdown, as well as Medicare provisions set to impact community pharmacies.
All right, Rick. So kind of just wanted to start just addressing what are some of the biggest impacts on the pharmacy industry that are stemming from this ongoing government shutdown?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue that we have is there's so many initiatives that we have going on, working closely and collaborating with CMS. While some of the programs are continuing because they're considered essential, most of the work that we're doing has pretty much been put on hold. And there's a lot of important issues at hand right now, including electronic prior authorization, which we just had a roundtable session without CMS there today. And so that's the unfortunate part, is we can continue moving forward with the work that we need to do, but we really need the impact or input and guidance from the group at CMS.
Awesome. So kind of going off of that, like, how has the government shutdown itself impacted NCPDP's kind of prioritization of operations? And basically, how has that made you guys have to make a pivot or kind of change in what you guys do?
You know, knowing that there was a potential for this, we were already putting some contingencies in place, but we had to make some modifications to our workgroup meeting, which we're here today for, where we always have representatives from CMS attending. They give us an update on the process that CMS is working with us on adjudicating Part D claims. They talk to our members about the movement to our new version of telecom and answer questions for our membership as well. So we're having to kind of pivot on that. Also, as I mentioned, our electronic prior authorization sessions that we had today, them not being present, we still move forward. We're still going to do the work that we need to do and follow up with our counterparts once the government is back in session again.
So it's very much so just like having that resource, that government resource that really does impact so many of your members and kind of just the people that have a play.
Yeah, we've built quite a collaborative relationship with CMS. So we are hand in glove. They work very closely with our members, and you know, they look to us and we look to them for understanding of the policies and regulations that are put in place or about to be put in place, as well as answering just day-to-day issues that are coming up that our members have.
Awesome. Cool. So moving along with how the government shutdown is impacting CMS specifically, so and what we're looking for within 2026 and beyond, a lot of experts and pharmacy advocacy groups, they're consistently expressing concerns and uncertainty regarding the implementation of the Medicare drug price negotiation program, especially with this government shutdown. Obviously, it's not going to make anything easier, but what are NCPDP's thoughts on the program and its status right now as 2026 is less than 2 months away?
Well, the good news regarding the Medicare drug negotiation program is it is considered essential work right now. So the team that is supporting the standing up of the Medicare transaction facilitator and the program itself, they are working and continuing to work through this government shutdown. So they continue to do the work to enhance the system, to test the processes they're going through, to allow pharmacies to enroll in the Medicare transaction facilitator and have monthly calls then with each of the industry participants to give updates on where the process is at and answer questions that people have. So the good news on that side of it is it has minimal impact on the government shutdown. That being said, there's significant work that still has to be done to make sure all the pharmacies are enrolled. The pharmacy software vendors have done the changes that they need to make, and everyone in the middle is testing and being able to implement the services to ensure that the pharmacies are made whole for the transactions, for the prescriptions that they're filling in a much different process than they're used to.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's kind of, I've definitely heard that there's like a lack of transparency in kind of how these programs will be implemented in 2026. Would you agree with that? Do pharmacies kind of, do they understand right now what what they really need to be doing as far as when 2026 kind of rolls around?
You know, I think that CMS has done a good job of communicating the changes that are coming forward, as many others in the industry have been doing as well. The information that we've been sharing, the information that the other associations like National Association of Chain Drug Stores, National Community Pharmacy Association, and other associations that have impacts on these changes to pharmacy and the other constituencies in the industry. But that being said, there's still a lot of people that don't understand the process and are confused about how this reimbursement is going to work. The negotiation program, which goes into effect on January 1st, will essentially split all payments for drugs that qualify for the maximum fair price into two distinct different reimbursements. One is their normal reimbursement from the Medicare Part D processor, and a second one is going to come from the MTF or the Medicare Transaction Facilitator, making that pharmacy whole. But it has a lot of confusions in the middle, and making sure that they're getting the appropriate payments from both sides creates a whole new avenue of need and of understanding for those pharmacies.
Awesome. Yeah. So obviously with it just being such a novel thing right now in the industry, it's definitely just all the parties involved needing to do their due diligence for when it is implemented.
Exactly. And, you know, the good news is we have 10 drugs. So while it's a high volume 10 drugs, it is just 10 drugs. But we have to understand January 1st of 2027 is another 15 drugs. 2028 is another 15 drugs. And then 20 drugs each year thereafter. So if it's one of these that the pharmacy is looking at it and just saying, you know what, I'm just not going to participate, that's a short-term decision. And hopefully, you know, concerns that they have can be resolved. And, you know, pharmacy and others have been vocal, which is what's necessary. And the other thing that I would say is the representatives from CMS are listening. They truly are doing their best to address the concerns that are coming up, reducing the time lag between when the prescription is filled and when they're getting reimbursed. That's a big concern that pharmacy has. And then also making sure they can reconcile those payments as well.
Awesome. Very well said. I'm going to make a quick pivot, change in topics here, okay. But obviously a lot to unpack with the negotiation program. We'll obviously be kind of keeping our eyes out. I kind of wanted to just discuss some of the conversations that are happening today at your work group. So how have pharmacies increasing their vaccine services? So I want to talk about Medicare Part B and Part D. How have pharmacies increasing their vaccine services blurred the lines of reimbursement when billing under either Medicare Part B or Part D?
Yeah, that's a great question, because there is a very blurred line, and by payer, there's not a clear definition of where vaccines are going to be reimbursed to pharmacy. As we all know, the traditional path of vaccinations in the past have been through your physician or in the physician's office or in a clinic. And the movement through the pandemic has really shifted that administration to pharmacy and created new avenues of challenges, but also opportunities. Pharmacies are a great opportunity for that patient-pharmacist interaction, much more convenient for the patients in most all circumstances. But there is a complication of reimbursement. We have some pharmacies that have a relationship with a third-party vendor that can assist in the billing situation. So if it is a pharmacy benefit, they're very well adapted to be able to submit under the NCPDP telecom transaction. When it comes to submitting those under a medical billing system, that creates some more challenges for them. And so we understand that, you know, many pharmacies are using a vendor that helps them to facilitate those billings or modifications through their own pharmacy system in order to do that. The best system process is to make sure that it's transparent, obviously to the patient, but also from a pharmacy perspective, that they're not spending more time trying to create the bill, get reimbursed, than it's actually being reimbursed for the service that they're providing.
Cool. So kind of just one more question, piggybacking off of that, but also kind of wrapping it around with our whole discussion here today. But how do you expect vaccine services at pharmacies to be further impacted heading into 2026 with the Medicare drug price negotiation? So as far as like billing and their ability to provide these services?
You know, there isn't a direct correlation between the two, but what it continues to emphasize is the dispensing of drugs in a pharmacy cannot be the primary source of revenue for pharmacies to be able to maintain the cost structures that they have and the ability for them to keep their doors open. So while the MTF program in itself isn't the triggering point, the reimbursement models, the cost of operating a pharmacy continue to place an additional pressure on the pharmacy. And so what we're doing at NCPDP and throughout the industry we're seeing is a focus on clinical services, including immunizations, where pharmacies can practice at the top of their license and be reimbursed for that. The challenge that pharmacy has had is they've done a lot of the services for quite some time without being reimbursed for those. And knowing this moving forward, that the only way that they can continue to operate in doing services like immunizations and diabetes care and other clinical programs is to for proper reimbursement on that. And also working with the State Pharmacy Association of the state boards to allow them to practice at the top of their licensure and then get properly reimbursed for that as well.
Awesome. Very well said. I really appreciate you taking the time today. I think it was great.
Thank you. Appreciate it.